This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Do It Yourself. You can find The Pulse on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You've probably heard about a gene editing tool called CRISPR, but let's get a quick recap from somebody who has firsthand experience.
Gene editing and engineering to change genes in a way that it can now do things it couldn't do before.
That's 12-year-old Hannah Fixon. Yes, she is 12. That's kind of obnoxious, but she successfully did a gene editing experiment at her school. And as Alan Yu explains, you too can learn how to do this. He went to a class in Brooklyn to check it out.
I'm at a community lab called GenSpace. It's a classroom, two rows of tables, a whiteboard, and there's two strings of Christmas lights hanging on one side, twisted to form the DNA double helix. It's a four-week class on gene editing with a small group of 10.
And then I was like, this is so cool to learn about. I hadn't studied biology since ninth grade.
The participants go around the room to introduce themselves and their background.
For work, I'm a software engineer. I just got my master's in plant biology.
I'm a medical student up at Boston University.
I work in pharmaceutical advertising.
I'm a high school sophomore.
I'm a high school junior.
I don't have a job because I'm still in eighth grade.
Lab manager Will Schindel is teaching the class. He says usually the people who take the class are professionals who want a new career skill, or
everyday people who have just heard about CRISPR on the news. They just know that it's this word that everybody's throwing around, and it's either going to lead to the singularity or the apocalypse. And so they'd like to know,
which one it is.
Yeah, which one it is.
Will offers a quick history lesson on CRISPR, then it's off to the lab. Each student puts on gloves. Okay, I'm going to simplify what they do next a lot. Their assignment is to genetically alter yeast to turn the organisms red. To do this, they are mixing three things. One, a small circle of DNA that carries the instructions for making an enzyme that does the gene editing. Two, a short bit of DNA that marks the part of the yeast genome they want to edit. It's a little bit like a cursor in a word processor that finds and highlights the word you want to change. And three, another enzyme that acts like glue to stick the short bit of DNA to the circle. They are mixing all these with a pipette, which you can think of as an expensive straw that sucks up precise and small volumes of liquid, measured in microliters, which is a millionth of a liter. In one corner, software engineer Ruthie Nakmani is working with Tina Lai.
Does this look like okay? It has some bubbles.
That's okay, I wouldn't worry too much.
You can tap it down just a little.
After about an hour of mixing, they dump the liquid with the transformed bacteria onto a petri dish. They roll some sterile glass beads around their petri dishes to spread the bacteria solution all over the surface.
And now everyone's gonna shake their plates. And they're gonna shake the beads around on the plate, and the beads are going to track bacteria all over the plate and coat the surface.
Then the petri dishes go in an incubator. They close the door and the dishes sit there overnight, then they go in the fridge, and the students won't find out if it worked or not right away. But you don't have to take a class to try this out. There are kits you can buy online, so this is happening in other places, like at schools. Abby Pierce is 13 years old and she goes to Acera, an elementary and middle school in Massachusetts. She changed bacteria so they could grow with an antibiotic that would have otherwise killed them.
It was kind of funny because I was talking to one of my friend's science teachers, and she was actually really surprised that we got to use CRISPR.
She says kids at other schools are learning about CRISPR, but she actually got to do it. The science teacher at their school is Michael Hirsch. Last year, he started teaching molecular biology using kits from a company called Amino. One experiment involved leaving some bacteria overnight.
Then they came in the next day and a culture that was yellow suddenly was red. It's like, whoa, what happened there? And so I think it started to click like, oh, wait a minute, there actually is something that's going on in there. We're seeing science happen. I really mutated bacteria, and they love that the idea that they mutated something.
He says kits from companies like Amino are taking science from labs and putting it in classrooms and homes.
I told the folks in my school that Amino is going to do for biology what the PC did for personal computing. We could do things like create pigments and create flavor extracts and all of these really nifty things safely and carefully in our kitchens. You know, if you were to 50 years ago say that everyone in their home had a computer, you know, I think they'd all look at you like computer manufacturers look at you like you're crazy.
Now, he's not the only one comparing gene editing tools to computers. A lot of people have talked about this, and it's bubbled over to different spaces. And just like with personal computing, people are now dreaming about and starting synthetic biology projects. Will, the lab manager at Genspace, is working on one with some friends.
It was just something that we blurted out over a couple of beers. What if we could give basil weird flavors? We could make vanilla basil or spicy basil. And we're like, no, spicy basil, that doesn't seem like a good idea. What about a spicy tomato?
Will has some tomato plants growing in the lab in Brooklyn, and his team is trying to figure out how to edit their genes. Some people are trying to make bacteria produce insulin. That sounds exciting, right? But before we get too carried away, we have to remember that bacteria are not as predictable as computers. I talked to Christella Prather. She's a chemical engineer at MIT, and her team does synthetic biology all the time. She says even her grad students struggle. Living things are just a lot more complex than computer code.
One of the common mistakes that people make is assume all water is just water, right? The water that comes out of the tap in Cambridge is different from the water that comes out of the tap in New York. And that's because of a number of reasons of the source of it as well as how it's processed. So there are very small things like that that can turn out to make a significant difference.
Now, don't get me wrong. She's also excited about how kits and classes are bringing synthetic biology to everyone.
I was a 13-year-old kid who had a Commodore 64 computer, and I could write my own computer programs to do all sorts of interesting things, and I didn't really need anything other than the computer.
She says even if all these kits do right now is get more people excited about becoming scientists, it's still really valuable. Now, there's one other thing. Remember what Will, the lab manager, said about how some people think of CRISPR?
It's either going to lead to the singularity or the apocalypse.
And the apocalypse part is what worries some people. For example, in Germany, you cannot use these kits at home. You have to be in a licensed facility or you face a fine of up to $54,000. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control disagrees and says the risk to people using these kits is low. It asked EU member states to review their procedures around these kits. I talked about security with Justin Pereira. He's the co-founder of Amino, one of the kit companies. And now he has a fellowship from Johns Hopkins University to work on biosecurity.
DIY bio and biohacking and, you know, whatever we're calling it, it's still in a very early stage. And from a security standpoint, it's really nothing to be concerned about in the near point.
He was just at a workshop in Washington, D.C. with people from academia, industry, and government agencies like the CDC, the FBI, and the UK Ministry of Defense. He says, generally speaking, the US and Canada have been very supportive of the DIY space.
You have a lot more people becoming educated in the area who are possible creators of amazing technologies and whatnot in the future. To kind of counter this, what we see in Europe and specifically in Germany, there's a very high regulation around DIY bio, which again, I don't think is a security risk. But by regulating it, they're also stifling innovation.
Justin says the goal of his company Amino is to teach these skills to as many people as possible, because we have some pretty big problems to solve, and the more people we can get to work on them, the better. He says science has progressed quite a bit, but imagine how much more progress we could make if we had tens of thousands of more scientists working on these problems.
I'm personally invested in this because my grandfather, he died of cancer when I was really young, and it really affected me. And it's been kind of my dream to solve cancer and have some of these big discoveries to prevent people from harm.
And who knows, maybe some of the scientists we need might start with classes at Genspace or learning to edit genes using a kit in middle school. For The Pulse, I'm Alan Yu.